But there's been a recurring thought that keeps coming across my mind. And if you want to be flipping with me to Scripture, I'm going to be reading from a very familiar passage of Scripture from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. You know, I spent a great deal of time over the last 24 to 36 hours, which was the first time I was able to catch my breath for this week. But I spent a great deal of time in prayer and looking at some things, and I'm optimistic. Optimistic is not the word. I'm thankful that God has shown me what I need to do here this evening. And I hope in some small way, what few words I may or may not say here this evening, I hope are beneficial to you. We find here in this 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we find a very familiar story about Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's a story that we all know. And it's also a story that gives me great encouragement. If you want to be reading with me, I'm going to start down in about the 26th verse here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, we find here a great deal many things that we could talk about this evening, but the thing that I hope for just a little while, I want to bring all of us to a common theme. You know, I find it very interesting that back during our revival, that I don't know if you noticed this, but revival was almost like in stages. The first part of the week was the gospel went out. God's people were burdened for the lost, and that carried on even through the rest of the week. But there was a sudden, subtle change Thursday. And Brother Kent stood up here and he talked about running our race. And I remember distinctly Brother James mentioning toward the latter portion of the services taking up our cross. Well, all of these things require something of us. They require each and every one of us to be doing something. They require us to be following after the Spirit of God. You know, what we find here is a man by the name of Philip. We all know the story. We all know how Saul of Tarsus, before he became Paul, had come in and wreaked havoc in the church there in Jerusalem, and everybody scattered. But they had been in Jerusalem in wonderful, spiritual, on fire for the Lord meetings for some time. As we go through the revival season, no doubt there will be many of us that, even as I was, as we came to a close in our revival, I was more energized than I had been in several months. And we need to be careful, and we need to be cautious, that as we approach the end of, quote, revival season, that we don't cool off our engines as far as following after the Spirit of God. You know, I remember distinctly mentioning to Ann, I believe it was Friday evening. Might have been Sunday evening. I really can't remember at this point. My mind is mush. But I remember as we were standing out in the foyer, I mentioned to her, or started to mention to her, I corrected myself, I really hate this week to come to an end. And I made the comment before I got to that portion of my comment. I said, no, I don't mean for it to end. I hope this continues. I hope this is only a stepping stone for greater things. You know, Philip, no doubt, was a man that was interested and seeking after direction from the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I often find myself in times where I have to confess I don't listen like I ought to. You know, the few things, a few very small points that I would like to bring out here this evening as far as following after the Spirit. The first one I want to hopefully never fail to do is to make myself available for the Spirit. You know, make no, it's always amazing to me how God will direct His people in certain places. You know, it's always amazing to me how God will seem to take something so insignificant, something so small, something so minor, and turn it into a big thing. It's amazing to me how He will take and He will call men into the ministry who are both timid, shy, don't want to be in front of nobody, and constantly are struggling on whether or not they're good enough to do anything. But He will take those men, and He will use them in great and mighty ways that I can't explain. He will impress upon the heart of men to go overseas, to travel thousands of miles to see people that they have never met. They don't even know. They just know they're there. And it all starts with being available. You know, I don't know if the Lord is impressing anyone here today to do anything grand. You know, I often look around at my efforts in the world, Lord's work over the last few years, and I shudder to think, in my eyes, how little I have accomplished. And I don't mean accomplished, I mean how little I've done. But also at the same time, every time God has reached out to me and shown me something I needed to do, I have always tried to be there and to be attentive and to be available. Now that goes for each and every one of us here today. I understand the crowd is small this evening. I know the things that are going on in our community, and I understand that sickness is ravaging our land. But I also understand that just like this flashlight, you know, it's pretty bright. I keep this in my pocket all the time. It's rechargeable. You know, it can really get out there. Put you in the spotlight, brother. But you know the thing about this flashlight? It might work fine right now. But if I keep using it and I just keep putting it back in my pocket, keep putting it back in my pocket, without connecting a charger to the end of it, one of these times when I hit that button, it's not going to come on. Brothers and sisters, the same exact thing can happen to our spirit within us. You really want to hear God speak to you, and I make no mistake, I know His voice. I know it better than I know my own. You're going to have to be in and amongst God. You're going to have to do your best to draw as close to Him as you can. Because let me tell you something I can tell you from experience. The further out there you go, the harder it is to hear God, even when He's screaming at you. Because I've been out there. It ain't pretty either. But you know, as Philip... You know, I find this interesting. Not only do we need to be available, we need to be attentive. You know, when God's Spirit, when the angel spoke to Philip here, and He told him to go off into the desert, number one, he didn't hesitate. Didn't hesitate. Well, God, it don't make no sense why to go out in the desert, but you know why you're sending me. See, the thing we need to understand about when we are listening and honestly following after the Spirit, there's been countless times in my life when God has directed me to do things that I, to this date, still do not understand. But make no mistake, God had a purpose and a plan for it that I may never know. The one thing that God has really revealed to me in the last few years, it's not so much what I see as a result of things that may or may not I have been involved with, but it's the simple fact that I did my part to make something happen. And I've wandered in the desert. Brother, I've wandered in the desert. And I've heard the Lord's voice tell me to go to somebody. And the thing you need to understand about, you know, I'm just going to tell you my experiences because that's all I've got to go on. You know, there's been times in my life when I have been close to God, I have really been trying to do my best to grow. And God gave me a job to do. And what's the first thing that I did? Are you sure? Right, brother? How many of us have been guilty of being a Gideon? How many times have you laid your fleece out on the yard? I've done it, brothers and sisters. I've done it. But you know what Philip did here? When the Spirit told him to go and join himself to that chariot, it says he ran. There was no hesitation. None. Let me tell you something. I don't know about y'all, but I have seen times and I've seen places when God's Spirit came into a place and God's people honestly followed the Spirit. And I'm not talking about one or two over here, two or three over there, one or two over there. I mean, everyone in the house was following the Spirit of God. And I have seen grand and wonderful things happen. You know, I've been in a church service. Where 12 people went down for prayer and 9 of them popped up. Testimony of salvation. One service. We've all seen those services where more than one or two have come to know the Lord. And what takes place in those services? God's people are really earnestly following after the Spirit. It starts in the pulpit and it goes all the way out to the back pew. Brothers and sisters, we have got to, in the day in which we live, we have got to not only stay close to God, but we have got to listen to Him intently. Because see, here's the thing that we don't know. What if that Ethiopian eunuch is in the peanut butter aisle at Walmart, and you happen to walk by and see? Let's put things where the rubber meets the road. How many of us have walked in Walmart, or you just name the grocery store of choice, it doesn't matter. How many of us have walked in somewhere and we've had tunnel vision, not paying attention to anything around us? We're guilty, ain't we, Doc? I like being able to see you. You know, I can count you at numerous times that all I have done is walked into the store, did my best to look straight in front of me, not look anybody in the eye, not acknowledge anybody's existence, do my business, and get out. And you know what I have also seen and learned very, in a very hard manner? I've learned to look around at people and see just how unhappy they really are. You know, it hadn't happened to me too many times in recent years, but it has happened. You just strike up a conversation with somebody standing in the middle of the, you pick the aisle. How are you doing today? Okay. You see, they open the door. You see, we need to pay attention to what's going on around us. You know, make no mistake, if God sends you somewhere, if you are honestly following after the Spirit of the Lord, and He sends you somewhere you don't understand why you're there, I guarantee you, if you will take the blinders off and look around, pay attention to what's going on around you, there is someone somewhere that needs to hear what you have to say. Is that right, Brother Joel? Because I'm going to be honest with you folks. You know, I saw this week a big change around here. I'm sure y'all noticed it too. You'll know what I'm talking about when I get there. But I remember distinctly when I left this part of the country last Sunday evening, as I drove home, there was a lot of fields that didn't look all that great. Just about every cornfield I have passed this week looked about like the top of my shoe. Just all spindly up, what we call twisted, corn twists. But we were blessed by God to have some rain this week. And you know what I noticed on the way up here? All those same fields don't look the same today. Don't look anywhere near the same. Folks, the same thing happens into the spiritual desert that is right out these doors. It's up to us to go out there and to do some watering. But we're going to have to pay attention to what's going on around us. We're going to have to pay attention to folks. You know, that's going to take us out of our comfort zone. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not easy to walk up to a complete stranger and start off a conversation about just anything. But here's one thing I know. There was a lady who came up to me in Save-A-Lot food stores about 7 or 8 years ago. Out of the blue came up to me and handed me a $5 bill. What in the world is this woman doing, right? She said, I don't know why, but I've got to give you this $5 bill. I said, ma'am, I'm okay. I'm okay. No, she said, you don't understand. I've got to give you this $5 bill. That was the first $5 that went into our youth fund at Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church. Is that significant? Maybe in the grand scheme of things, people may or may not look at it like that. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. That small gesture, very small gesture, in obedience to what I believe was the Spirit of God. That very small gesture got something started, and it allowed people to sit back and to take inventory of what we do on a daily basis. How many other people? Have you ever had the experience of just being in the middle of somewhere and feel like you need to do something? I have. You know, we all see people on the side of the road at Walmart with a sign, right? We know the people we're talking about. How many of us stop? How many of us even really pay attention, or is it one of those things where we put our blinders on so we can get by? Don't make eye contact. You know, I don't know every situation, and I'm not going to even start to tell you what you should or should not do, but here's what I do know. Whoever that individual is and whyever that individual is there, they still have a soul. And we, as God's people, need to quit looking in the flower garden behind our house for harvest time when the harvest is plenteous right out in front of us every day. At your workplace, up and down the highways, at Walmart, at Save-A-Lot, at Food Saver, Cash Saver, you just name the place. The fields are white unto harvest. Not only do we need to pay attention, but we need to follow through. You know, I don't know about you. There's a lot of things that I could say, and a lot of things and inspiration or stories that I could share with you of things that have happened to me in my own life. But here's one thing that I want us all to understand about this story with Philip. You know, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And of course, he ran over. And when that gentleman, when that eunuch asked him, you know, here's what I'm reading, what do I need to do? You know, that conversation started off with, do you understand what you're reading? Follow through. You know, I don't know where you are in life, and I don't know where you have been sent by the Lord, and I don't know what His Spirit may be directing you to do even at this moment. But here's what I know. It doesn't do us any good to go into the desert to look for that thing that God wants us to do. And then when we get there and we get started, okay, well, here I am, Lord, and I don't know if I want to do this or not. Follow through. You know, I've got a family member. I have to be careful here since this is being recorded. I have a family member who's a whole lot like me. When they were younger, they would start this project or they would start that project, and they never got to the end of a project. You know, we did this for a while, we did that for a while, you know, this was okay, that was, you know, we never finished anything we started. If God has something that He's impressed upon any of us to do, if you don't finish what He has set you to do, who's going to do it? You know, I made this comment this morning at Chalk Hill. You know, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, in so much as We often find ourselves in places where we don't want to become involved with things. But also at the same time, there's times and there's places where we know we need to be involved. You know, God has a strange way of using strange people like me to do small things that he can turn into great, big, wonderful works. Not anything I've done, but something that he uses my small effort for. You know, if it were not for the simple fact that we are supposed to, as his children, be actively working on his behalf, why would we be here? If it was only about salvation, why would we be here? You see, brothers and sisters, we are God's hands and feet. We are the ones that reach out and help. You know, I remember distinctly a song a few years ago came out. I can't tell you hardly any words to it because my mind is not working as well as it once did. I understand that that'll get worse in time. But the song simply stated that fact. We are his hands and feet. If we want someone to do something, that was the title of the song, if I remember right. Basically, the lyrics were asking God, why don't you do something? And God's reply was, that's why I left you here. That's your job. That's why we're supposed to follow after the Spirit of the Lord. And there's one thing that I do want to say before I close. Following the Spirit's not always easy. You know, as I walk down this journey of life to my goal home, you know, I look at the Pilgrim's Progress, and sometimes I stop and I see where am I at along this path? And I've seen Vanity Fair. I know exactly what it looks like. Brother Kenny, I've thrown a few darts at the games. But the thing about the journey is if we are truly following after the Spirit of the Lord, yeah, there's going to be days that it's going to be hard. Why? Because we have an enemy. And it's not just the devil. It's this flesh. You want to know who Chris's worst enemy is? It's Chris. Chris gets in the way of a lot of good things that God wants to do from time to time. So let me encourage you tonight. You know, we may be small in number, but make yourself available. Listen for what he would have to say. Follow through in all that you do. Because here's the thing that I want you to understand. You know, there are times and places I know in my short life where I have seen seeds planted. We're getting ready to go into VBS. I have seen seeds planted in children's hearts. I have seen seeds planted in men and women's hearts that may not have sprouted for years, but I have lived long enough to see them sprout. So don't ever think that however small a thing God's asking you to do is something small. Because in the grand scheme of things, it may be something wonderful. I appreciate your time and attention.